In Parshas Yisro, we find quite a few interesting concepts and ideas. Pasuk tells us, "Vayishma Yisro." Gemara asks, "Zvachim Ashmu Hashamu Ba." What did Yisro hear that motivated him, so to say, that wanted him, made him want to come join Judaism? So Rashi quotes the Gemara, "Mashmu Hashamu Ba." He heard the Kriyas Yamsuf of Mechames Amalek. We mentioned last week a pshat that what Yisro wanted to hear was he wanted to hear a nation that's devoted to their God and not only a nation that sits back and takes what's given to them. I just saw this last night. I think there's a diuk to my pshat because it says in Rashi in the Gemara he heard Mechames Amalek. Should have said he heard the winning, the nitzachin of Amalek. The fact that we beat Amalek, it was just about the actual winning of the war. It's not the war that he heard about. He heard about the winning of the war, the nitzachin shel Amalek. Why does the Gemara say you heard about the war? The answer is because it's that the nekuda. It wasn't the fact that we won the war. It was the fact that we went to war. The fact that Klal Yisrael was able to go battle against an enemy that we had no chance of winning, and we only did it because Hashem said go, that's what Yisrael wanted to see. He wanted to see the devotion, dedication of a nation who's going to follow their God, even if it doesn't make sense. And that's what motivated Yisrael to come. Many discuss that one of the things that Yisrael heard was Matan Torah. Yisrael heard this great event of Matan Torah. If you hold a Mukta Mochama Torah, it's out of order. But others ask it the other way. Why didn't Yisrael come when he heard Matan Torah? Matan Torah was this major event. Everyone heard it. It would have been on top of YouTube. Everyone knew about it. So why didn't Yisrael come for Matan Torah? So I think the answer is Pashat. Matan Torah and Kabbalah Torah is a major event if you actually learn the Torah. If you got this gift called the Torah and the rules and the beauty of it, then Kabbalah Torah is a major event. But if you're someone like Yisrael, who's an outsider, and he has very few mitzvahs at all, so what's this big event called Kabbalah Torah? What does it do for him? What does it mean for him? It doesn't change his life, it doesn't affect his life. And that's why Yisrael, hearing the fact that Klal Yisrael got the Torah, is not going to motivate him to come join Klal Yisrael. Kabbalah Torah is special for those of us who learn the Torah, who have a connection to the Torah, we've lived the Torah. To us, that's something special. But for a Yisrael, an outsider, it's not going to mean anything to him. And I think this is very true later on in the parasha. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Koisayma lebeis Yaakov v'sagdi lebnei Yisrael." Who are the first people that are told about the Torah? The women. Koisayma lebeis Yaakov. First tell it to the women, then v'sagdi lebnei Yisrael, then tell it to the men. So it's a big discussion. Why were the women the first to be informed about the Torah? You think we should have got it first? We the men? So Pashup Shad is, and I said this over at my son's upshar, and I think it's very true, is that the women are the ones who do much more of the chinuch than the men do. Much as we like to believe we're mechanach our children, yeah, maybe when they get older and we can learn with them, maybe then we're mechanach them. But we forget they need chinuch before they reach high school, by smarish years. They need chinuch when they're small children, when they're little, putting on tzitzis, making brachas. Who's mechanach them then? The mothers are mechanach them at that point. So that's why the Torah is emphasizing the sagi the beis Yisrael. The women, they're the ones who are the earliest exposure to the children. They're the ones that are going to be mechazik our children at the smallest, youngest age. Before they get to learn lomdis and chayims, they got to learn how to, you know, wash nagavasa in the morning. So that's why the women are first, because they're really the first step in the chinuch of children. But I think the answer might be deeper. I think the answer is it's a bigger godless for the women to have a Kabbalah satayr. You know, for women today, you know, we get to go to, you know, we go to shul, we get to learn Torah, and Torah's geshmak, we get to learn lomdis and svaris. They don't get that. Today we have a phenomenon in the world, there are more and more women, and I don't understand it, there are more and more women working harder and harder ever to support husbands that are learning. To me, it boggles my mind. My wife does. I don't think she has a choice, but I'm saying some women, you know, they love doing it and they appreciate it every single day. It's an unbelievable concept. Women going out, working very hard, hours and hours of work, going to school, so they could support her husband who's learning. Do they get the geshmak of learning? Absolutely not. Do they understand what it means to, you know, break your head over a kivegim? Absolutely not. But they're so devoted to the cause of Torah, even though they don't get the enjoyment of the learning of the Torah. And that's why the Torah puts them first. That's why in the order of Kabbalah Torah, the women went first. Because even though they don't get the geshmak out of learning that we get, and we get to enjoy it, but they have the mesiras nefesh for Torah without the geshmak of it. They don't get the enjoyment of Torah. So that's why they go first. It's a special shvach to the women that they give up so much for Torah, even though they don't get to sometimes see the beauty of the Torah, and that's why the Torah puts them first with regard to the order of Kabbalah Satayra. I think in this week's parasha, there's a lot to learn about son-in-law and father-in-law relationships. I think both ways. A lot to learn how to deal with the son-in-law, a lot to learn how father-in-laws should deal with the son-in-laws and vice versa. What do we find? We find something interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu has been, you know, running the show, Top Gun. All of a sudden his father-in-law comes to town. Everyone knows when the father-in-law comes to town, you get nervous. What's going to happen now? So what happens? Yisrael comes to town, and first he talks to Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu filled in Yisrael about everything that happened. So there's a famous var from the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav said that there's a mitzvah to be mefarsim anes. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to spread the nes of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. There was one problem. Everyone knew it already. So well, who's he going to tell it to? So he finally found Yisroel. Yisroel was the first guy he could tell it to. So he sat down, Yisroel told him all the nisim and all greatness. You'd think he's catching up and telling him about the Enochlech, what the grandkids did, you know, his first step and his first this. No, that wasn't what he was talking about. He was talking to him about all the nisim because he found fresh, you know, so to say, blood, somebody can talk to because everyone else knew the miracles. And since there's a mitzvah to be Mefar Seven Ace, he spent the whole time telling Yisroel about this miracle. Biskrov says about himself that one of his kids, Shabbos Sheva Brachas, the couple was late to show up Shabbos morning to, I guess, lunch. Late, they probably ate lunch at 9 o'clock in Brisk. They davened at 7:30, they ate lunch at 9 o'clock. So the couple was late to show up. So the Biskrov got nervous. You know, it's not normal for, you know, one of his children to sleep late, even, you know, during Shabbos Brachas. So basically, he went down to the room, he found that there was a carbon monoxide issue. It was talking very dangerous. And they were saved, Baruch Hashem, and everything was okay. So the Biskrov spent the whole Shabbos telling everyone he saw this story. You know, my kids, they were in the carbon monoxide. Because he held there's a din that you have to move far some anase. So therefore, everyone he could find, he was spreading the word. So Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it was much harder because there was no one to talk to because everyone saw it already. So what happens? Yisroel comes and he sees what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing? The Rabban says Moshe Rabbeinu had three jobs. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Rebbe, he was a Rav, a Dayan, and a Rosh Hashiva. What does that mean? Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu spent the whole day long pasuking Shabbos. So everyone asks, how many Shabbos could there have been? There are three mitzvahs. They had Shabbos, Kivareim, Paraduma. What were they busy with all day long handling? What's there to talk about? How much can you tumble about Paraduma? They even have a Paraduma. Shabbos? Okay, Shabbos is once a week. So some people say they were busy all day long Chesha Mishpat. What was the Chesha Mishpat? They were fighting over the Biza Sayam. Whatever came out of the Yam, that was a free-for-all. Who gets what? Who grabbed what? Who's holding on to this? They were going through Sugis, you know, Bamitsiya, Samarach Svetalis, Yachloik, you called all on Gavra, Gansa Sugis. So Moshe Rabbeinu was busy all day long Paschaling Shabbos. What else did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu was a Rebbe. Doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu was a rebbe. People would come to me and say, "No, Moshe, what's going to be with my kid? He's sick. He's not doing well. What's going to be with Shidduchim? What's going to be with this?" Moshe Rabbeinu was a rebbe. What was the last thing Moshe Rabbeinu did? He was Rosh Hashiva. He said Shiri. He taught Torah. So Yisroel comes to town. He sees his son-in-law is overworked. Like any good father-in-law would do. He sees his son-in-law is overworked. And he's worried about his son-in-law. What's going to be? You're getting overworked. You're going to burn out. It's not going to be good. So he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "I have a novel idea. Why don't you spread the work? Have someone else do your job. Hire other dayanim." It's a novel idea. Why no one else think of this? You need Yisroel, you needed a guy to come think of this idea. So part of the answer, sometimes it's always good to have an outsider look at things. It's always better from an outsider. But the Mefarshim says, because everyone was scared to suggest it. How can you suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu can't handle his job? How would that look? Someone knocks on Moshe Rabbeinu's door, "Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a suggestion. I think you need to take a vacation. I think you need a sabbatical. Let's hire more people." Everyone felt Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu. How can you do that? Yisroel, he's a farmer. He's allowed to suggest it. So Yisroel comes to town, he makes his suggestion. What happens? He implements his suggestion. Yisroel, Moshe likes his suggestions. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do afterwards? He sends him on his merry way. He sends him back home. Very good lesson. Come, give you 2 cents, then it's time to go back home. That's the lesson from this week's parasha about how to deal with the father-in-law and the son-in-law. But it's interesting. The pasuk does tell us that Vayishma Moshe l'kol chosnei. Moshe listened to the voice of his father-in-law. So before Hashem asked, why the extra word l'kol chosnei? So I think the answer is pasha. Sometimes it's very hard to take advice from a father-in-law. Not easy. You always feel like, you know, who's he trying to tell me? What's this? That's that. So that was the chiddush of Moshe. Vayishma Moshe l'kol chosnei. Moshe Rabbeinu listened to the advice of his father-in-law. Not that Stam was an outsider, it was a Yisroel, it was a guy, it was his father-in-law. It's sometimes hard to take advice from one's father-in-law, but still Moshe Rabbeinu listened, and he implemented it, and it ultimately worked out much better for Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And that's why the pasuk adds, l'kol chosnei. Before Hashem do ask, why did Moshe Rabbeinu send him away? Let him stay. So I think the pshat pasuk, it's not healthy. They have to have a little bit of distance. They shouldn't be on top of each other. It's better for everyone. But the pasuk pshat, the Medrash says, is because Rashi says that Yisroel went back to be Megayer his entire family. The Medrash says Yisroel had to leave. He couldn't partake in Kabbalah Satayra because since he didn't see the suffering of the Bnei Yisrael, right, Yisroel was part of the original Mitzrayim plan, how to deal with the Jewish people, and Yisroel fled. So Yisroel didn't see the Jews suffering. If you don't see the suffering, you can't see when we rejoice later. So Yisroel couldn't have been a Kabbalah Satayra. He didn't deserve to see Klal Yisrael be besimcha with the Torah because he wasn't there when Klal Yisrael suffered Mitzrayim, and that's why he had to leave. Moshe Rabbeinu has 2 sons. Interesting, you don't really hear that his 2 sons made any major positions in Klal Yisrael. You learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that things are not given by Yerusha. Jobs and positions are not. Today that's not the case, but that was at least the case in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu has 2 sons, Gershom and Eliezer. And his first son he calls Gershom, Kiger Yisiberes Nachri, and his 2nd son he names him Eliezer, Kelekei Aviva, Hashem saved me, Mecherev Parah. So the Chafetz Chaim asks, it's out of order. In chronological order, what happened first? First, Moshe Rabbeinu was saved Mecherev Parah when he was in Mitzrayim, and then he went to Midian to be Gera Yisi. So he should have named his first son Eliezer, and the second son Gershom, to remind himself of the chronological order of events. So the Chafetz Chaim says that's not the way Moshe Rabbeinu works. Moshe Rabbeinu works with a different logic. Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, I need to make sure that wherever I am, I know this is not where I belong. I'm a Midjan, I have to remember, I don't belong here. This is not my resting place. I'm a Jew, I belong somewhere else. I have to be here because that's what I need to do now. So Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of naming his first son this message of Ger to teach him, no, I got to know where I belong. I belong elsewhere. I'm here now because I have to be here. But Ger Yisi Beret Nachir, this is not my final resting place. I don't really belong here. We find that the pasuk tells us that when Klal Yisrael came to Kabbal Sater, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad. My Rebbe, Reb Kalman Epstein, was once in a hospital for Yom Kippur with his first Rebbetzin, who passed away, was very sick. And he was in the hospital with her for Yom Kippur, in one of the hospitals in Manhattan. And they asked him to speak on the Ila. He figured he's Rosh Hashiva, he should speak. So they asked him to speak on the Ila. So he said, okay, I'll speak. So he said the following. He said he doesn't understand the drasha. Chazal tell us, ki ish echad b'lev echad klai yisrael arachtas. So he asked, you think this is the first time there's unity? Why wasn't there unity when they left Mitzrayim? Why wasn't there unity during the Makkos? Why wasn't there unity during the Melchemes HaMolek? Why now is the first time Kesha Chad B'lei V'chad? So he said, there probably was. But this was the first time that we got together, not because we were being attacked. It's easy for Klai Yisrael to get together when we're being oppressed. It's no godless. Yeah, of course, when we're being oppressed, we always come together. When things are bad, we always come together. What about coming together when things are good? This was the first time, he said. When Klai Yisrael was traveling to Har Sinai, things were great. Everything was perfect. No one was bothering us, no one was attacking us, no one was trying to kill us. And still Klal Yisrael was Kish Echad B'lei V'chad. That was the godless of Kabbalah Sater. At a point where there's no one's bothering us, no one's oppressing us, we could still come together. So he said in his speech to Eli, he said, we're all here together because we all have sick family members. Nebuch, we're all here together and we became one. Spending Yom Kippur together in a hospital, you become like one. He said, it's halavai that we should continue being like one outside the hospital. Not when we're suffering together, but when we're in a good position and things are good. We should then have the unity. That's the godless of Klal Yisrael, that we can unify when things are good, not only when things are bad. If you look in history, it's clear like this. Many times, the situation in Eretz Yisrael, I find, goes up and down with us versus the Arabs, depending on how it is with us versus ourselves. When things are bad internally, then the Arabs start to attack us. And why is that? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll bring you guys together. If you're not going to become together on your own, I'll force you to become friends. You know how I force you? I'll send the Arabs on you. And the Arabs come and attack, all of a sudden we unify. So the idea is to unify, not mitaychat chak. We shouldn't unify because we're forced to unify. We should unify because we want to be unified. Not when things are bad, but when things are good. I was at a Malava Malka last night, and I'm sure many of you know that going to these events are a big fat waste of time. I hate to say it, many, many hours of wasted time. But I found some salvation, and I was at this event, and the guest speaker was a Mordechai Goldbaum, noted Paisik and speaker, and he said over a beautiful vart. He said, it says in the Pasuk, matoivum anoyim, sheves achim gam yochad. So he asked, grammatically, the word gam is extra. We know, matoivum anoyim, how nice is it, sheves achim, if we all sit yachad together. What's the gam? What's also together? So he quoted, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama. Machloikus between Beisham and Beisel, if a person gives an esnan zayna, the law is you're not allowed to give money or a gift that was given for his nus, you're not allowed to use it for the mizbeach. So it's machloikus between Beisham and Beisel, what happens if you change it? Let's say the gift that was given to the Zayin was one thing. You make a change to the gift. Can you still give it? So the Gemara's Machloek is Gam L'Rabbis Shinuriyam. The word Gam teaches me even if you change it. So he read the pasuk like this. Gam. Even when we're different. He says, what's the big deal for all of us to get together when we're all like-minded, like we share the same views, we all get together. Well, what type of chiddush is that? Of course. If we're all together, we all like each other, of course we're going to get along. The chiddush is gam. Even when we're shunehem, we're different. We have different views and different outlooks and different hashkafas and different leaders. Still yachad. That's the godless of the pasuk. When we're gam, when we're still different, then we're still unified. That's the godless of Klal Yisrael. Someone called me up once. I was trying to find an information about a shidduch. I said, well, you know, what type of person is he? Well, he's nice to his friends. Oh, it's good to hear. He's nice to his friends. I'm happy to hear that much, right? But that's not a chiddush to be nice to your friends. The chiddush is we have to be nice to those people that are different than us. Those that are shunehem. They're not like us. They look different, dress different, sound different, talk different, whatever it may be. That's the godless of the pasuk of Hinei Matoi V'Manoi. Yeah, there's much more to talk about. We're running out of time. I'll mention one last word in Kibbut Avayim. The Targum Unkel says on Kibbut Avayim, Yaker, to show value to. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes in Sichas Musar that if a person is mechaber his father or mother, and does everything the Gemara says. He brings him food, he takes him in, picks him up. But he doesn't show chashivas to his parents. He's not miyakir them. He doesn't view them as important. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, he's not in the kind of the mitzvah of kibbut aveim. part of the mitzvah is not just the physical actions of doing for your parents, bringing them food and bringing them into the room and setting them up. It's more than that. It's like the uncle says, Yaker. You have to view them as important. If you don't view them as important, you're lacking a bit of the keem of the mitzvah. It's not just the action that we want. We want you to view them as the most important thing in the world to you. That's Yaker. They're valued to you. And part of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em is that a person has to value his parents, not just do for his parents, he has to value his parents. Well, now it's right for next week's parasha. We always have to say something for next week's parasha. The beginning of the parasha, the Torah teaches us a fascinating idea that a Jewish boy can be sold as a slave and he can end up with a shivcha kanas, marrying a nice goyish girl, and he can have children from them. So the pasuk says the only type of person who's allowed to take a shivcha kanas if he's already married. If he's a married man, then he's allowed to get a shivcha kanas. So the Kliyoker says, I'm pretty sure it's a Meiri and Kedushin, I couldn't double check. He says, why is it that way? Why is it only a married man and not a single man? If I get a married man, you're ripping families apart. You take a guy who's married, he has three kids, and you send him to become a slave, you let him marry a non-Jewish woman, says the Pliyok, it's exactly the opposite. Can you imagine if you would allow single boys to be sold as an Eved Ivri? You have a 70-year-old kid who's not doing well in school, he steals some money, we tell him, you know what your punishment is? You're going to be sold as a slave, and you're going to marry a nice, good, non-Jewish girl, and we're going to convince you to have children with them. Well, it doesn't sound like much of a scary process. Says the Pliyok, we're afraid these Jewish kids are going to stay there forever. What are they going to come back for? Come back to Kleisra or what? Be part of a Jewish marriage? So if someone's already married, he's part of a happy home, he wants to stay in his happy home. If you take a single kid who has nothing else going on in his life, and we sell him to a non-Jewish girl, we give him a nice Christian girl, it's not going to end well. He's going to want to stay there. So the Torah B'dafka goes the other way. The Torah only gives the right to marry a Shivcha Kanas to a married man, if he already has a family. So the hope is that he likes his family enough, right, that he wants to come back to his family, and he doesn't want to stay with the Shivcha Kanas. But a single boy, we're always afraid that he might want to stay with the Shivcha Kanas and not be Mekayim Peruvu properly, and that's why the Torah prohibits giving a single boy a Shivcha Kanas. Okay, we're holding over here in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us like this. Hazayri get le'ishto v'hi b'seich beisei. If a person throws a get to his wife, and she's in her house, or she's in her own chatzer, she's divorced. Zarka lo b'teich beisa. What happens if the husband throws a get into his own house? The husband throws a get into his house. Or to his own chatzer. Afilu hu ima b'mita. Even if he is with her in the bed, ainu megureshes. Who's the who with her in the bed? Okay, we're talking about she's in her house. She's in his house. She's sitting in his house on his bed. And the husband throws a get. Dr. Mishnah, afilu hu ima b'mita, even if he is with her on the bed that she's sitting, she's not divorced. Who's the who? So if you look on the side, they say pirish haget. Meaning even though the husband threw a get, and the get is sitting on the same bed that the isha is sitting on, again, it's not her bed, it's his bed. It's his bed in his house, but you threw the get on the bed that she's sitting, still the halach is eino megureshes. Now the problem that I have is, why is that exactly a chiddush? What's the difference where the get is? If the point is that it's in his possession, it's his house and his bed, so it's his rishus. You can't be megarish and isha by putting a get in his rishus. So the fact that the get is next to her, I don't know what that adds to the chiddush of the Mishnah. So maybe you'll have to say some svar, but again, the Mishnah's talking about either way she's on his bed, right? The Mishnah's saying that either way she's on his bed, and now the get was thrown even onto the bed as well.
So you... within my Dalaramas?
There is, but Dalaramas called him Kain Ibrushas around him. I don't have Dalaramas in your house. I'm in your house now, right? In your house, we'll see in a second, maybe I do have some kinyanim. But in your house, Pashtus, you run the show. So what's the chiddush? So the truth is, I think there might not be a chiddush. That's why if you continue reading number two, he writes over here, v'chein lesa b'yushalmi. Some people take this word out. Why do they take it out? Because there is no chiddush. There's nothing new learned from the fact that the get is on the bed that she's sitting. If it would be her bed, I understand. There's a chiddush. It's her bed. But if you tell me now it's his bed in his house, just because it gets near her, you would think there's some svara that because the get is near where she is, that's how the get's kind of. What type of chiddush is that? So that's why I think many Yushami and others take it out.
When it says his house, his bed, what happens if at that point they're living together and they share the bed? So my question is, gave it to her, right?
That's Bo'an Ke'echot. That's how it comes at the same time. At the same time where the divorce happens, he loses. I mean, she doesn't own anything. Man. Right. She has nothing. It's his bed. It's his house. Now, what would happen if she paid for it with her own money? Okay, I'll be a separate child.
How else could he divorce other than Mamash handing it to her hand?
That was what we had earlier. How do you have a case of Chatzeirah? She doesn't have a backyard. Mashikansi Shikanobal.
Right.
So the Gemara said either get to be other than
Ke'echad,
or a case where
so
they make
tonight. So why is it any different? That's what I'm asking.
Because over here it's not hers, it's his.
What's the difference whether it's the Chatzah that's hers, that also belongs to him,
No, because the chatzah that belonged to her only belonged to her, not to him. The kash is, how do you have such a scenario? So the Gemara gave an answer. Yeah. He was talking about it. He bought it. He paid for everything. So she has no money.
The Chiddush Rishami take out the word hulot, so reads yafilo ima
b'vit,
even if they're lying in the same bed.
No. Then the Chiddush is that even if she's in the bed and you throw the get onto the bed, it's still no good.
So what's that?
Chiddush. Yeah, I don't, the Chiddush then is, it's not a Chiddush. The point then is that even if she's, you can't use the bed to make a get, no matter where.
Okay, any part of your house.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I don't see how this makes so much sense over here, understanding the Mishnah. But the Gemara over here, number 3, picks up like this. Omer Rava, Loi Shanu El Bamita Shaloi. This is only talking about if it's his bed. Avu Bamita Shaloi. What would happen if she would have her own bed? She bought herself in his house, sitting in his house, in his room, that he owns without a doubt, and then you would throw the get onto that bed. Zakt Rava Migureshes. Then they would be divorced. What? Oh, we'll see in a second. It's a Gemara's going to have a kasha. So after Gemara, Tanya, Nami, Hachi, we learned in the Braiser, Rabbi Yezer, Oimer, Bemita, Shaloi, Eidem, Gureshes. When did the Mishnah say the divorce is no good? When you throw the get on his bed in his house. Bemita, Shaloi. But if you were to throw the get onto her bed that she owns, however she'll own a bed, as I in the Gemara earlier, how can she own things? What happened to Mashikan, Tishikan, Abalo? Avo, Bemita, Shaloi. But if it were to be her bed, Migureshes. Frank, the Gemara, what are you talking about? U, Bemita, Shaloi, Migureshes? How can it be if it's her bed and his possession, the divorce? It's Caleb Shalekeach Bershus Maichahu. The Gemara Baba Basra, the Dafyam is not there yet, it's in the pays. The Gemara talks about a case of a Caleb Shalekeach Bershus Maichahu. You want to sell me something, and I have my Kalim in your possession. And let's say, for example, I have my knapsack. I take my knapsack and I bring it into your possession. I put it on your floor. And you want to sell me an item. So what you do is you take the item and you put it in my knapsack. So it's my knapsack. But it's my knapsack situated in your possession. So who has the right of kinyan? Do we look at it and say, well, it's in my chatzar, it's in my backyard, it's in my house. So I'm the owner, it's mine. So I basically made an asina from my right pocket to my left pocket. That's not a ma'aseh kinyan. Or do you look at it and say, no, but I made an asina to the knapsack, and the knapsack belongs to the lekeach. Even though the knapsack is situated in my possession, but the knapsack is its own entity. That's the shayla of the Gemara. So the Gemara in Baba Basra.
That's an arai as opposed to a bed, it might be a keva. Part of the room.
Well, it might be Tali, which we have to see. What exactly is the issue of Caleb? What's the stadim to say yes, Kaina? What's the stadim to say not, Kaina? So let's get to that in a second. So the Gemara asks as Akasha, so bring a Rai from over here that Caleb Shalekeach, Shemas Mino, Caleb Shalekeach, which is Meicher Kano Lekeach. So we see from over here that if I bring my Caleb to a Meicher's house and the Meicher puts the thing I want to buy into my Caleb, I could be Kaina. And it seems to be a Shail in the Gemara of Basra. So the Gemara says, Loi Tzricha Digvaya Asara. We're talking about a case where the bed is 10 tefachim off the ground. Okay, at least the mattress. The mattress is 10 tefachim off the ground, give or take, but that's about 40 inches. So the mattress is 40, is 10 tefachim off the ground. And he threw the get onto the mattress, which is above 10 tefachim. So what? So why does that make anything better? Okay, good. We'll have to get to all that. Fakti Gemara Kasheva Ikka Mokim Karye. Very nice that the mattress is 10 tefachim, but the bed post, the feet of the bed are on the ground. So that should seem to ruin things. And for the Gemara, Amokim Karye Le Kapti Inch. People don't care about the fact that the bed, the feet of the bed are on their Rishos, that they don't care about. As long as the bed itself is 10 Tvachim high, you're good to go. Okay, so this Gemara needs a lot of explanation. What exactly is going on over here? Rashi learns, Avo B'mita Shalom, number 4, Zakt Rashi, Avo Pishe B'toich Beisoy, if it's her bed in his house, Migureshes. They're still going to be divorced. Why? The reason is because if I have my kalim in your possession, you're the moich, you want to sell me something, so I take my box and I bring it into your house, and you load up my box with things you're selling me. I want to buy bottles of soda from you, so I bring a box, I put it on the floor in your house, and we put 10 bottles of soda in the box. So the question is, am I the lekeach kaina of the soda? Well, on one hand, yeah, it's my box. My box is kaina. On the other hand, yeah, your box is kind in your house, or your box is kind in Rishus Rabbim, but your box can't be kind in my possession. So the Gemara thinks it should be totally that machloek is above a bastard. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says digvoya yud. We're talking about over here that it's higher than 10 tefachim. So what? Why does it matter that the bed is above 10 tefachim? So Rashi learns to have a rishusay lenafshei. 10 tefachim above is a new entity. It's a new area. Rishusay lenafshei. It's no longer deemed the airspace of the meicher to take away the rishus of the kli. So Rashi seems to be learning that Ena chanami, if it's on the ground or within 10 tefachim of the ground, that's moicher airspace. That belongs to the moicher. So even if I put my kli there, my kli doesn't beat out the fact that it's the moicher's airspace. So the moicher has the right to be kind. But once I go above 10 tefachim, I'm beyond the radar. Now it's no longer the moicher's possession. Now it becomes it's free area, free reign area. And since my kli is there, my kli can be kind. That's
right,
what the.
This thing is very limited, though.
Why?
Only for this purpose is it not considered.
The problem with Rashi. The problem with Rashi, as we'll see, the Rashi was going to ask many questions on Rashi. We know it's just not true. We know a person's area goes very high up. My Rishus doesn't end at 10 tefachim. Let's say a person throws a get over, he throws it over the chatzar. Right? Again, the problem is that it needs to land somewhere because we have issues of landing. But mitzat svar, the fact is my chatzar goes all the way up. So why is it because after 10 tefachim I lose my power? Well, it's not true. My Rishus goes all the way up. So why does Rashi learn the way he learns? My power of control is beyond 10 tefachim. So why does Rashi learn that above 10 tefachim it's a new rishas?
Don't we see that there are differences in the height also, like even if it's chum Shabbos or whatever, it's like walking on the ground versus walking on something.
Yeah, there's a shayla in the Gemara. If yesh tchum in the malam miyud, right, that's a discussion in the Gemara.
And that's the end of the tefachim there as well.
Yeah.
Why is a person in different... there's different rules for a person
Yeah, but the Rashba is going to bring proofs that when it comes to kinyonim, which is an extension of the ground, we find that that's not true. Yeah, maybe Lagabi should say Shabbos and other things, but with regard to my power of kinyon, my chatzar is all the way up. You know, again, 10 tefachim is not very high. It's 40 inches. So above 40 inches, then my airspace is no longer mine. I have a guy who has a high ceiling house. So you tell me after he hits 40 inches, that's it? Above, all and above is not his? Why not?
No, but what?
Maybe not as soon as that.
Again, Rashi's limiting it when it's someone else's.
That's the Nakud. The Nakud over here is we have fighting powers. We have on one end, it's my power, it's my Rishad because my Rishad goes all the way up to the Shemayim. But on the other end, I have this guy's Kli. And his Kli presents his own possession as well. So now when they come into conflict, who wins? Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Yeah.
When we talked about a chayfet going into your chatzer, right? So it's like somebody intends for you to make a kinyan on that chayfet by putting it into your chatzer, right? Or it's hefker and it rolls in, okay? But here, it's what's the habamina that the person who's putting it there with the intention of being koneh something through it, using it to be an instrument of kinyan, or whether it's the bed to be an instrument of kinyan, mm-hmm. What's the habamina that the baal of the space should have any kind of rights to that item? Unlike the other cases where it's either hefker or...
No, it's not. I wouldn't say it's right. The point is that wouldn't consider a transfer of ownership.
Well, why not?
Because I didn't put it in your possession. I put it in my possession.
It's only in your possession because it happens to be physically on your floor.
That's the question. How do we define that? That's what we're debating over here. That's a subject.
Every time I walk into your house, you suddenly have some kind of...
I wouldn't say you have a kinyan, but the point is you can't say that there was a transfer from my possession to your possession because where the kli was put is technically on some level my possession, my area.
You physically brought it into my possession. You
Put
it into
but
my
again,
knapsack.
It's
so
your
that's on your floor. What does that matter?
Because again, if your knapsack is your own item, that's true. Right. But if it's in a possession, that's mine. The way the Lomdish way of saying it is: do we look at where the kli is monach, or do we look where the entire object is? That's the Lomdish way of saying it. I don't think we need to use those Lomdish words. I think it's simple. How does kinyonim work? Kinyonim works with rishus. So you put the chayfet in a bag, which is an independent rishus, but in a place that's not kinyonable. It's not a place that's valid to make kinyonim because it's my backyard, or my house still. So didn't I transfer rishus from me to you? That's the shayla. We'll talk more about...
Unless there's an assumption that the baal is automatically giving you
to have... That's the Rashbam's pshat. That he learns that the whole...
We're going to get to it.
The Rashbam has a pshat. We're going to get to it in a second. There's a fundamental machloikish rishonim over here. How to learn the Gemara. Good. That's a Rashba. Second kasha. Good. We're going to get to everything. We're going to deal with everything. But just very quickly, there's a fundamental machloikis rishayim over here. How to understand the whole Gemara. What's the whole idea of Caleb Shalakeach, which is Meicher, kind of like, what's the suffix of the Gemara? So from Rashi, it's clear. How did Rashi learn the Gemara? Rashi learned the Gemara. Well, Rashi learned the Gemara that once you go above Yud Tvachim, it's an issue of who has power. Which means under 10 tefachim, the owner of the kli loses, or the moicher wins. According to Rashi, it's a battle of power. Who has the rights to make kinyonim? Do we look at the possession of the area, the Hainu, who owns the house, or do we look at the Chayfetz, who owns the Chayfetz? That's the question of how do we figure it out. However, it's Mefurish and other Rishonim, not like that. If you look, for example, number 5, there's a Gemara in Baba Basra and Pehe. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Baba Basra Pei Dalar asks the question, does Kalev Shel Loikech Moshe Smechik Kaino Loikech? The Gemara goes back and forth. Then the Gemara says like this, the Rav Shmuel Dami Tevayu, Kalev Shel Adam Kaino Loi B'chol Mokin. Rav and Shmuel said that the Kalev of a person are Kaino anywhere. So the Gemara, Lasu Yimai, what does it mean anywhere? Lasu Yei Rishos Meicha. It means anywhere, even if they're situated in the possession of the seller. So you have a raya that Kalev Shel Kech Moshe Smoicha is Kainah. So at the Gemara, no. Hasam the Amale Zilkni. Over there we're talking about the case where the Moicher told the Lekech explicitly, go out and own the possession. So the Gemara is making an akimta that when the Moicher tells the Lekech, I'm giving you rights to use this area where your bag is resting, then of course the Lekech has the right to be Kainah. So the Mashmois of the Gemara is that if he doesn't give him...
But he wouldn't need the Kli then. If he's giving him rights, so that's...
Right, he's giving him right.
Square
area. Right, and therefore, since it's in,
you can just put it in the square area. And he's,
I guess
he's cone.
That's
guess,
true.
Why
that,
I need the clean?
That would be true. And a grammy. But the point over here is that since it's in this area, you're putting in the clean that's there. You're okay.
So on the Baal puts the get
on. Zok the Rashbam number 6 says the Rashbam kana lekeach ki ilu nasan letoich reshus eshalekeach oy loy kana. Why the reshus iker the hakli bottle legabi hereshus? How's the Rashbam sound like he's learning the Gemara? Sounds like he's learning like Rashi. That the shayla of the Gemara is kana lekech, alei kana lekech, is what's the main possession? Do we say the main rishus is the lekech's bag, or the main rishus is the rishus ikur vakli bottle gabi rishus? The rishus ikur means the moichir rishus is the overpowering possession, and the kli loses its power. That sounds like Rashi that we learned in the Gemara.
That's how we learned it.
But the problem is that how do you learn the Gemara in Baba Basra? The Gemara Baba Basra said, if I tell you Zilkni, it helps. Why does it help if I tell you Zilkni? What does that change? So if you learn the Gemara, like other Rishayim learn the Gemara, the way Taisus learns the Gemara, that it's a question of do I or I don't give you my possession. Taisus learns the Gemara very non-lumdish. Taisus learns the suffix of the Gemara is, am I a Moicha willing to give you this little square foot area? I know that you want to buy these things that I put into your box. I know your box is in my possession. So how do I fix it? By being mocking you the square area where the box is sitting. So if I give you that area, so then we have no problems. That's not the way Rashi learns the Gemara. That's the way Taisus and Baba Basra learns the Gemara. That the subject of the Gemara is the Moicher, give the Kaina a little bit of space to be Kaina. That pshat fits very nicely with the Gemara and Baba Basra number 5. That we're making it a kimta, that the case is the Amalei Zilkni, I give you explicitly the right to make all kinyanim. If you learn like Rashi, that the Shai of the Gemara is who has the overpowering Rishus, so when the Gemara says Zilkni, so basically what I'm saying is that I'm pulling back on my power. Even though I have exclusive rights to this entire house, and your Kli loses to my rights of the house, I'm giving you rights to be able to do it.
And how does that actually work?
That's a good question. So there's a Tosfos in Baba Basra, which I think we'll talk about next week, Blineder, about very nice, I give you rights, but you still need to make kinyanim.
Right.
Let's say I'm mashal you. I lend you an area. You still have to make kinyanim. Where's the kinyanim? No one goes over and makes a ma'isakin. So
believe.
But Blineder, I think more for next week, we'll talk about this. Tosfos in Baba Basra asks this kasha, where's the ma'isakin?
Going back to what you said before, when you toss it in the ear, the question is the ear. When it's in the ear space itself, and it's going to land in the knapsack, whose is it when it's in the ear? Is it the Moicher or the...
So that's the way... That's the Machloekis Mishraim between Rashi and the Rash, but we'll see in a second. Rashi would tell you that above 10 Tvachim, free area. It's no longer the owner of the house. Now, obviously, if...
So now
when my knapsack is 10 Tvachim high and it lands in the knapsack, I get to be Kainan. That's how the Rashi learned our Gemara. The Gemara's answer is like Tzricha de Gvaya Asara, that the Gemara's answer was the knapsack was 10 Tvachim, the bed was 10 Tvachim high. The point is, therefore, you no longer have rain 10 Tvachim high. And my bed is there, falls to my bed, I'm kind. That's how Rashi learned the Gemara. The problem with learning the Gemara like Rashi, the Rashi has a bunch of kashas. The Rashi talks about this in number 7. The kashal, correct the Rashi. The imkain, if you learn like Rashi, my kaparich, what was the Gemara's next kasha? V'ha'ika mokim kari hamita. What was the flow of the Gemara? The Gemara asks, "Ay, it's Kalev shalakech b'shas ma'icha." The Gemara answers that the bed's 10 tefachim high. Good. So Rashi learns, 10 tefachim high, my possession no longer extends, so it could be kind of because your bed's there. Then the Gemara had a kasha, what do you do with the bedposts, at the feet of the bed? Frank the Rashi, what's the problem? What's the Gemara's kasha? Mikol makim ki kol le ma'avish lemal la'asar kodle. The less the chashiv is lebatule, the klisha lekech. V'chi kapid akaya mit ma'ave. Who cares that you're makbid, that your feet of the bed are within 10 tefachim? You can have the feet of the bed all you want. But at the end of the day, the bed is 10 tefachim high. Above 10 tefachim, you have no power. It's free for all. My kli is there, I have it. Why does it matter that the bed, the feet of the bed are lower than 10 tefachim? Who cares? Why should that matter? So the pashat, the answer is... Exactly. The pashat, the answer could be is that you're right. When do we say that your power ends after 10 tefachim? That's if there's nothing connecting it to lower than 10 tefachim. But if the entire 10 tefachim above is connected to a lower than tefachim, and the reason why it's above 10 tefachim is because the feet are lower than 10 tefachim, that's my territory.
You have the bed suspended from the ceiling.
Right, so if you'd have the bed hanging from the ceiling, good. So then Rashi would be okay. But because Rashi is talking about a case where the bed is supported lower than 10 tefachim, so it's only above 10 tefachim because of the feet that are lower than 10 tefachim, so then the Gemara has a good kasha. Even though Rashi holds above 10 tefachim is no longer the meicher, that's only if it would be on its own. But if it's getting its power from the ground, so then that will go back to being the meicher. That's...
You know, if there are only four posts, or if it's a solid, like you can learn from Hilchos Tuma, it's like it's an ohel, it's like it's a separate...
No, but the problem... It's the way I would answer the Rashi's kasha on Rashi is that if the bed is stuck, is relying on the ground, so even though the bed is above 10 tefachim, but since it's attached to lower than 10 tefachim, so it's only considered part of a greater thing.
Right. As opposed to like being on a solid built up storage.
Right.
Then it's recovered, then it's bought apart.
Could be.
But if it's just the legs, you could learn out.
Could be.
Possibly
that might be told in how we're answering up for Rashi. Yeah, 100%. That could come out depending on how we're learning Rashi now, based on this Rajba's kasha. Yeah.
Clearly it's working 13.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that again.
I just want to say the fact that you can make a kinyan in a simen.
That's your rishus. Yeah, I'm on page 2, which I don't know if we'll get to today. We're going to bring that all back again. We're going to bring that, you know, some of those sugars that never die. They always come back again. They're like tchias emesim over and over and over again. Not that we get more clarity in them. You know, it's funny. I think we had probably, I don't know, 15 shorim of Kinyan Agav. And I was giving a shir in the sugyan bal metziya, and Nachman Vav, Kinyan Agav comes up again. So one of my tamidim said, no, you want to say a shir Kinyan Agav? They said, we went on the website, we saw you gave 15 shorim of Kinyan Agav. I said, I have to be honest. I gave 15 shurim of Kinyan Agav. I still don't understand Kinyan Agav. I can't say shurim. I don't know. I don't understand it. They said, we gave 15 shurim on it. I said, I know. They said, did you say the same thing every week? I said, no, we said new things, but I still don't really understand how Kinyan Agav works. So we can chazer again the same Torah.
That makes two of us.
That's it. Yeah, listen, that's one way of learning it, right? I don't know, I think if you listen to the shiur, you'd be more confused than when you start. But okay, that's kasha number one from the Rashi. Then Rashi has another kasha. V'oid, the l'chayru midikam makshe v'ha'ikam makim karimi to claim it the kopit b'hu, mashma the kuli milsa misham the kopit b'hu v'loi kopit l'hu. The Rashi's second kasha is interesting. From the flow of the Gemara answers, what do you do with the legs of the bed? The legs of the bed, no one cares about. That's a new svara. Caring or not caring, according to Rashi, the first part of the Gemara wasn't about what you want or what you don't want. It's intrinsically. Above 10 tefachim, you lose the power. Under 10 tefachim, you control the power. Who cares about who wants what? It's not about your wants and your wishes. That's kasha number 2 of the Rashba. Then he says, which is, I would have put this question number 1. He writes, V'oi, demayishna asara. What difference does it make if it's above 10 tefachim? Imishum lavud. If you tell me because it's more than 3 tefachim from the ground, but given the gevaya gimel, nafik le mitaris lavud zelikni. V'imishum zchus avi chatzeri, havadi avi chatzeri afilu l'malo. The airspace of your chatzer goes way beyond the actual ground. It goes higher than the ground. Havadi avi chatzeri afilu l'malo. So kol shebesaych mechitzis, as long as it's within the boundaries, you know, as long as it's within the field goal, right, through the two sides, you're good to go. So for Ekdi Rashba, why does Rashi learn the way he does? Now it's interesting, if I was writing, I would have put that kasha first. To me, that's more of the glaring kasha. It's the lumpness of how Rashi learned. The Rashba's learning that the flow of the Gemara doesn't fit according to Rashi. Because
if you have a fruit tree that's hanging over your neighbor's chatzer, so the fruits that are hanging in the air, who do they belong to?
Because that's a shayla. If you go basa noif, you go basa guf. That's a separate shayla of the Gemara. How do you figure out where this thing is? Because since over there it's starting from the
ground,
so that's
but now it's hanging in the air on the next
cluster. Exactly, that might be true here also, because since the bed is hanging on the ground, So that's why that might be the answer for Rashi.
Right. Either a separate area. That's right. It belongs to the next neighbor.
Correct.
Or it's
so here also. So even though it's technically above 10, but since the bed is only there because of the feet, that's what I think would be the answer for Rashi. So how does the Rashi end up learning the Gemara? He learns like this: Mistavra to Hachi Pirusha, not right on the left side of the first Rashi. Loi Tzricha the Gvaya Asara, the Yochel Hishtamish Tachto Hilchach Loi Kopid Be. The Rashba learns the point of it being above 10 tefachim is now I no longer care. I, the owner, no longer care about controlling the area above 10 tefachim, so I allow you to have it. That's how the Rashba learned the Gemara. That the Gemara is not a lumdish Gemara like Rashi learned the Gemara, that my power ends after 10 tefachim. No, my power goes adler rikia. But when I get above 10 tefachim, I don't even care anymore. I don't need to control the ear space above 10 tefachim. I let you have it. Says the Rashba, v'havalei ko'im alok kini. As if I tell you, you can have it. The hasam over there, Kalev Shalakech B'Shez Meicher. U'Mishem Hachi, now says the Rashba, quant to my Pshat, now the Gemara is beautiful. The way the Rashba learned the Gemara, that the Gemara, even in the initial step of the Gemara, was working with the Hakpada of the Meicher, what's going through the mind of the Meicher, what's going through the mind of the husband, that the mind of the husband is I don't mind giving you the space above 10 Tfachim. Then the Gemara says, well, that's not true. Very nice, I don't mind the space above the 10, but I mind the space below the 10. Fact Gemara, what about the Kariya Hamita? On that, the Gemara answers Kariya Hamita people don't care about. So according to the Rashba, the Gemara flows much nicely, which means there's no Lomdusha step in the Gemara. According to Rashi, we start off with a Lomdusha Shaila. Does my power extend above 10 or not? On that, the Gemara says, it does not. But then the Gemara has a new Kasha. Very nice, it doesn't extend, but what about the fact that I'm Machbid on that? The Gemara says, no, you're not Machbid. However, according to the Rashba, it's the same idea throughout the Sugya.
Rabbi, so he gave it in her hands, there's no Shaila, so you know some
Yodah. Right.
And the fact that his mission to accomplish it to make sure he's divorced, he still say that we approach it from the level of what would your standard individual think about your different
studios,
and therefore that's why the legs is not so kashim and everything else will do it. And as we don't just simply say that, listen, for purposes of effecting this divorce, I don't really care what the rules of Kenyan are and the rules of Hakpada, I want to make sure you're
perfect. Perfect segue to number 8. That's exactly what Taisus points out over here. Taisus goes on the Gemara. The Gemara said, what were the words of the Gemara? Amokin karye lo kapti inshi. On the place of the bed, people don't care. Zog taisvis l'chol ha'pachas b'ishtoi. At least by a wife. What is Taisus meaning to say? Taisus means to say, I don't know about a regular person. A regular buyer and seller, if I'm selling you something in my house, and we have a situation like a bed, where the bed is, the legs are in the ground, the bed's above 10 tefachim, and I put it on the bed, I don't know if it's so pasha that I'm going to say, akarye amita le kapti. Maybe by a wife we say it because I want to, you know, I want to make this divorce happen. I want to move things along. So by a wife I say akaya lekapti. Says Taisvis, I don't know if I'm going to say it by all people. I don't know if a regular moichen or lekech would do the same thing. Maybe specifically by a wife. Then Taisvis adds 3 very important words. V'chein ba'avir hamita. So too when it comes to the ear space of the bed. What does Taisvis mean when it comes to the ear space of the bed? So the Maram Shif speaks out that what does Taisvis mean to say? He means to learn like the Rashba. That the shayla of above 10 tefachim is not a lomdusha shayla, whose possession it is versus whose possession it's not. It's whether or not I give you the possession above 10 tefachim, like the Rashba learned. Says Taisus, when is there an assumption that above 10 tefachim I'm willing to gift you the area? That's only when you're my wife, and I want to make this divorce happen. But if you were to be another person, a regular moichel lekech relationship, there's no automatic assumption that I want to give you the area above 10 tefachim. So this Taisus is a raya that he learned the Gemara like the Rashba, not like Rashi or the Rashba.
But this is, in the Mocher Lokeach situation, it's the Lokeach's bed.
Correct.
Right? So he has permission to have the feet of his bed on the Mocher's
property
ground. Right? And so now they want us, but he owns the bed.
Right. Right?
What's the Havamina that if they're a Mocher and a Lokeach relationship, so that clearly the Mocher wants to sell something to Lokeach, what's the Havamina that putting it on the bed that belongs to the lokeach wouldn't be the same intent as with the wife.
So the problem that I have with Taisus is the reading of the Gemara doesn't fit. How does the Gemara read? The amokim kariye like kapti inshi. People don't care about mokim kariye. It doesn't sound like husbands don't care about mokim kariye. It sounds like people. People in general don't care. Right. Why should someone care about that? Especially if you have your what you want to do. So who told Taisus that it's only husband and wife relationship? Right. The reading of the Gemara is clearly not mashma like that. The reading of the Gemara is amok like kapti inchi means people.
But that's what the Chaim Bavner I would think mean. In other words, and similarly, in any situation, even extending beyond the case of
Yisro, right,
If it's you have it over there, since Lokapti Inshi.
Right.
Also, I didn't learn it. I mean, not that I learned it, but when you said it, I didn't think that this was a continuation of the din by the Inshi. The din by a Mokhan Lokapti.
What's motivating Tosfos?
Why is Tosfos? I hear you learn Tosfos. I think the way the most Achronim learn Tosfos is that it's a continuation. That it's the same idea.
What do I need it for? What's the Chiddush?
No, then the Chiddush is that he learned, that Tosfos learned that it's the reason why it works above 10 Tefachim is because I give you the space, not like Rashi, because above 10 Tefachim I lose the power. So then that's the way the Maram Shif learns Tosfos.
So if you say, Amokam Kari Lokap De Yinish, why can't you say the same thing by Caleb Shalokah, which is a Mokar, Kana Lokah? He's not mocked on that space.
Yeah, that's the way some Rishonim learn it. That's the way some Rishonim learn it. That's the way Tosfos and Baba Basra learns. That the pshat basically is that I want you to have it because I want
to
make it happen.
So why do you need to go to this case of the 10th? Stam, the case where I come into your Rishonim.
Because over here we're trying not to get involved with that machloikis. We're trying to circumvent that machloikis. Mm-hmm. We're trying to say that even though there's machloikis, Caleb Shalakech, Bishas Moicher, that won't be relevant over here because it's above 10th Vach. And Achrami. If you have to get yourself involved in the machlokes, that's what you're going to have to say. We're trying to say that we don't have to get ourselves involved in the machlokes.
Use that starting.
Correct.
To answer this
right.
As well.
Now there's a Gevaldik Maram Shif over here on the next page. Maram Shif speaks out like this. He says, Maram Shif says, he says, "V'ein zu sugyas ha-talmud. Kimen da ha-makshe mashma de brerele de yesh k'peda va-ha-tartze me-shivish ene makbet." He says, very funny Gemara. The Gemara starts with a kasha. What do you do with the feet of the bed? The Gemara, the feet of the bed, no one cares about. What was the shak b'taya? We took a poll and we found out how many people care about the feet of the bed. Well, half the people said they do, and then the Gemara said, well, more people said they don't. It was just very not lumdish. We don't like to do that, right? We like to have a lumdish conversation in the Gemara. According to the way the Gemara reads.
The concept of 10th Tvachim is not lumdish. I don't care this amount. It's pretty.
Well, it depends. If you learn like Rashi, so then it is very lumdish. The Chiddush of 10th Tvachim is above 10th Tvachim. You, the Moicher, have no longer have power. Now the Lekeach takes the power. But if you like the other Mishayim, if you like the other Mishayim, right.
I don't care about the legs. I don't care about this.
Right. According to the other Rishayim, the Gemara is b'chol not as lumdish as we'd like it to be. The Gemara is basically a question of do you or don't you care? Do you makne or not you makne? No major lumdish.
Does it matter whether I care or not, or is it that the halacha of Rishus
b'chnei? So again, so that might be telling how we read the Gemara. That's what the Maram Shif is going to add to us in a second.
And what does it mean that whether I care or I don't care about the leg? I mean the space.
Right, the space that's under 10 tefachim. I mean the legs that are in the ear space under 10 tefachim. If I care about that, that would ruin even what's above 10 tefachim. That's the Gemara's kasha.
What's it got to do with the legs? I know the legs are there. But
I mean, that's the part of the bed that's under 10 tefachim that still is in the power of the meicher, still in the control of the meicher. So therefore, that part is still my rishus.
Even if there weren't legs, in other words, if it was suspended,
he would?
I want the first 10 tefachim because I can store things.
Right, but the first 10 tefachim doesn't get in the way of my 10 tefachim above. But because my 10 tefachim above is connected to the 10 tefachim below, now we have a question. Well, this is now an issue.
I mean, the idea is because the legs are very tiny and small. Right, I'm not taking much space.
So that part I don't mind.
I lean the get against the base of the bed.
On the leg of the bed,
The leg of the bed. So you don't care about that area.
So. Right. So it could be easy. He's okay with that.
Which do we say?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We know in the religion itself, there are rules that we have to play by.
Right.
You can't just discard them and say, I'm basically doing condition with a pruta, less than a pruta.
Right, not an option.
There are rules that we have to go ahead.
Right.
So there's an Indian of a Kenyan. For whatever reason, the Chachamim established that you have to go ahead and have this particular component as well in order to transfer. There's an Indian. So correct. The Gemara says, listen, I'm less mocked for an Isha for whatever the reasons are. I want to get rid of her. She wants to get rid of me, whatever it may be. So we're parting our ways. But when it comes to Mechira, Kenyan, and all that, there are rules that the Chazal said, listen, if you discard those, you're going to chip away ultimately all of the Torah.
Correct.
So the Dan Hakpag itself doesn't work unless there are elements that really prove that, you know what, people aren't mapped on this. So that's why, I mean, to just say everything is al tahakpada, not akpada, I can't make the blanket statement on that because we're playing by the rules. On the other hand, where I see things like the legs of a bed which don't have the chashivas, I can apply it to that.
So you learned the Gemara it was a back and forth trying to figure out.
And there is a basis to say, you can't just simply discard the whole rule and say, listen, by the book, we obviously want to do the Kenyan, so I'm not mapped, don't worry about it. Because we see that, listen, I can say that also. Listen, I'm not mapping on Sherk Susanosa, don't worry about it. We say that you can't do it that way.
So the question is, how important is Kari Amita? What significance is the fact? Meaning, obviously, if I say, well, I don't need a kinyan, that's not going to work, right? But the question over here is, we're discussing that you have the above the 10th Tefachim. Now the question is the status of below 10th Tefachim. So the Gemara answers, well, lower than 10th Tefachim, the husband doesn't, or the Moicher doesn't care about. Let's just see what the Maram Shif says. It's a very geshmaka piece. He says, Uluze pirusha loy tzarech, loy tzvich de gvoyud, loy mikach peida asinon aleha. That's why he learns the Gemara, that's why Rashi learned the way he learned. Says Mamshev, why did Rashi learn the way he did it? Because if you learn the Gemara, that the Gemara was above you, no one cares. That's not such a geshmak teretz. But Rakdalev Kli Lo Kepurish Meichesh Ainz Rishas Meichesh Kepurish Rashi. The mile of the way Rashi learned the Gemara gave you a lomdish answer. The Gemara's answer is that above Tetvachim you don't have the right to make Kinyanim. According to Rash, according to the Taisvis, it's not such a lomdish Gemara. What's the Shaka Tai the Gemara? Does the person want power above 10 or doesn't he want power? So good, go out and poll 100 people and find out what they want. If they do want to continue their power above 10 or they don't want to continue their power above 10. The Gansa Gemara is not a major discussion. But if you don't like Rashi says the Maram Shif, now it's a Lomdash Gemara. The Gemara is telling you that above 10 Tvachim, even if you want to retain your power, you don't have it. Because above 10 Tvachim, your Shus gets taken away. To which the Rashba asks, why does it get taken away? The Maram Shif is just trying to explain why Rashi learned the way he did over the other Rishayin. Then he goes further, he says, if the whole bed would be standing above 10 Tvachim, then I understand, the Gemara is very good. Rashi holds that above 10 Tvachim is all free area, so if the bed would be completely above 10 Tvachim, the Gemara is beautiful. But, says the Maram Shif, but now that we know that it's not like that, but over here, the bed is standing technically on the Rishos of the Meicher. We should still look at it again. It's a Lomdash Shaila now. We should look at the bed, even though it's itself above Ten Tzvachim, in free-for-all area, but since it's standing on a bed that's on the ground of the Meicher, it should now go back to being the Rishos of the Meicher. On that, the Gemara answer is Loikapti Inchi. He says the Maram Shif, Avalat Toysus Pirish, Shevad Mikach Pei Dehikshu. Taisus learned the Gemara very differently. Taisus learned the Gemara's kash was, we're sticking with Kpeda, Kpeda. It's all about what people want. So what was the Gemara's kash of Kari Amita? The Gemara's kash was, Kari Amita, most people care about the legs of the bed. So if they care about the legs of the bed, so then it should be a problem. The answer of the Gemara wasn't, we polled 100 people and this was the answer. We polled 100 people and 100 people are makpid. It's a wife you're not makpid with. So the Gemara did change something in the answer. It wasn't just, poll 100 people, what's the answer? It was, we polled 100 people and then we gave a different answer because we're talking about a wife. Says the Maram Shif, that's why Taisvus learned the way he did. How did Taisvus know that this is a dafka by a wife? Because that's the shakav tayyav of the Gemara. The Gemara has to kasha, what do you do with the Kari Amita? The Gemara wasn't just asking, what do most people want? What do most people think about? We don't care, says the Taisvus, because here we're talking about a specific case of a wife. Zag Taisvus, on an ishtoy like kapti inchi, but you don't have that for most people. That's how the Maram Shif learned Taisvus. Again, to me, it's still tzarachin, the wording of the Gemara.
Why does he use the lashon lechol apachas?
Because that's at least the Gemara knows this much for a wife. For other people, you'll have to pull it and take new debt.
I was a dafka, no?
Yeah, I think that's what he means. He means that at least for this much, we can prove, but we can't prove other people.
Well, what wife did you want a divorce?
Right. Let's just see one more Rishon and figure out how they learned the Gemara. So right now, we have two stadim in Rishonim to how to learn the Gemara. Is it working because above 10 Tvachim is a new entity? It's a free-for-all area? Or the Pshah is a... How did she get her own bed?
Yeah.
Right, so you're going to have to answer like the Gemara said earlier. He made a deal with her that she's allowed to have her own possessions because they made up before Averson that she's going to give up her rights to... he's going to give up rights to be Zerchen or Nechassim. Like the Gemara said in the beginning of the parah. Yeah, the Gemara said it by Chatzah, right. So look, let's see how the Rambam learned the Gemara. So I'll just to recap, we have two Shitas Rishonim. What does it help that the bed is 10 Tvachim high? What does that do for us? So Rashi and the Rashbam learned that above 10 Tvachim is no longer the Meicher's possession. The Meicher owns the house, and he owns the backyard, and he owns the floor. And he owns the first 10 Tvachim. Once you go above 10 Tvachim, 40 inches above, that's no longer Meicher's area.
So that applies whether the bed is a hammock being suspended from Correct. The ceiling, or whether it's mounted on top
Correct.
Of four legs.
Correct. At the end of the Gemara, right.
Okay.
The other way to learn the Gemara is the way Taisvus learned the Gemara, is that the point of the Gemara is above 10 Tvachim is is the Meicher's territory. But the question is, could be the husband is willing to give it to her? The husband's willing to say to her that even though above 10 Tvachim is really my possession, I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the rights to be carrying above 10 Tvachim.
But isn't the whole Havamina of that scenario is that the wife's, that's her own personal possession
right.
that she made up in advance
right.
to own.
True.
So she went into it being her own.
But again, but
her own, at least the mattress part.
Yeah, the mattress is fine, but it's in my area still. The mattress is in my Tvachim. And according to these Rishonim, my area continues no matter what. If you can hang that bed from the chandelier, okay. that's still mine. How do I get it to be yours? So the Rishonim say, I give you rights to use. So let's see how the Rambam...
You know,
yeah.
Is it verbal? Or is it understood?
No, you have to speak it out. Right, the Gemara says, you have to speak out. Zil Kanila, I'm giving you rights to be king. So let's see how the Rambam learned. Zok the Rambam. Zarek la gita v'hi b'seich b'esai. He throw the get and she's in his house. Oy b'seich hatzeiroi, or she's in his backyard. Ein amigureshes. They're not divorced. Actually, a gia get liyodo. The get has to get to her hand. Oy l'kli min ha-kelim shalah. Or to any of her own private vessels. She'en ha-baal makbit al mikoymoy. Wherever the baal is not makbit on the area where the kli is resting. K'yoin tzluchis, a k'fifa k'tana, these small things are k'yaitzeben. V'chein, says the Rambam, im yegia le'mita shalah, what would happen if the get would end up on her bed? She'hi yoshevis oleha. It's interesting, that's he throws right, in yeah, that she's sitting on it. That's like the Gersa and the Gemara, which the Chayre shouldn't matter. The fact that she's sitting on the bed is irrelevant. Shouldn't make a difference. Again, but if it's her bed, it's Kainal's her bed. The fact that she's sitting shouldn't really change anything.
Well, maybe now, he's telling you it was like Rosh Hashanah Rabin, but it falls within her
dog. No. So if the get would fall on her lap, that's one thing. We'll talk about that in the next Shtickle Gemara. But the get falls on her bed. She owns her bed, but her bed's in his possession.
Maybe that's the signal to her.
That what?
I'm not makbid. That
because you're sitting?
Because you're sitting right there, sitting right in front of you.
Yeah. Not sure. I'm not sure what it adds. The fact that, again.
What is the
Kenyan? What? What's the Kenyan?
Wait a minute.
Who says he has to do an action?
Yeah, we don't know yet how the Rambam learned the Gemara, right? Where the bed's going to be 10 tefachim in the year.
So the right now she's sitting on.
Could be.
The bed that she sits on.
Yeah, again, I don't. Again, either way you learn the Rambam, I don't see the relevancy. It shouldn't matter. Let's say it's a bed that's full of bed bugs.
Unless the Rambam's holding that he's not makbid on it
when she's sitting on it.
But if it would just be empty bed, then he wants to be able to use it.
Could be. I'm not sure why that should be that way. I'm not sure why. Yeah, we have to talk about it. Yeah?
That would be a
chazer mishlemeres if it's a chazer. Chazer mishlemeres, she has to be sitting on it. She should be next to it. Okay. Should we stand next to it? Should be a shevisala? It may gia lemita shalosh shehi yoshevisala. That she's sitting on it. Does that mean she's sitting on it actively, or that means she was sitting on it?
I think she's sitting on it.
I'm not sure what the significance in the Rambam exactly. Again, obviously, it connects to what we started off at the beginning in the Mishnah's case, where she and the getter on the same bed. Somehow, that adds something to the equation. I don't see what it adds, but okay.
What Rambam is saying though is the first, not the bed case. The first thing, the slope of the tefillah is below 10 and yet. As long as the
Baal,
you say the
Baal's
not
marked. Okay, good. That's why I want to read the end of the Rambam. So, to Rambam, what happens if you have a bed? Kivaya asar etfachim, harezim ugureshes, right? That's all repeating the Gemara. So, to Rambam, why? Shairi chilko rishos la'atzmoy, because it's its own possession. So, let's stop right here. So, those words sound like Rashi. Sounds like Rashi. That above 10 tfachim is new territory, free territory. So, to Rambam, ve'ein habal makbid al makim kari amita. And the Baal is also not makbid al kariyah hamita.
So whether she's sitting on it or not.
Whether or not the husband doesn't care about the feeding of the bed. The feet of the bed. So how do we learn this Rambam? So Pashib Shah and the Rambam, I think it's Pashib, the Rambam learns like Rashi. The Rambam is learning the Gemara that above 10 tefachim is cholka rishus la'atzma. Above 10 tefachim is cholka rishus la'atzma. It's its own possession. And the reason why the Isha has the right to be kaina is because since it's her own possession, it's a free-for-all, and her kli is there. She has
so
a right to be
kaina. Maybe that's only true if she's actively sitting on it.
Maybe.
That's why he said it.
Could be.
He doesn't know like Rashi that it's always like that. It's just only if she's showing actual physical intent to have it, and he's allowing her to sit on it because that's the law of
me. Again, yeah, that's on the Kari Amita. That's the next step. That's the next step of the Gemara. The Gemara reads that according to everyone. The Gemara is I. What do you do with the feet of the bed? The Gemara makim kari the kapti inshi. That's the Gemara reads that. But the Magen Mishnah, if you look right above number 11, the Magen Mishnah has a new way of reading this Rambam. The Magen Mishnah learns of Pirish Rabbeinu, Bnei Shecholka Rishus La'atzma, Pirish, Ein Habal Makbid Aleha. He learns like the other Rishonim. Not Shehi Cholka Rishus La'atzma means it's his own possession like Rashi. He learns that since it's his Rishus La'atzma, that's why the husband is willing to give it to her. Pella. Unbelievable way of reading the Rambam. So the Magen Mishnah reads the Rambam the way I don't think most of us would have read the Rambam. Then he says, "Ve'efshe she'ena kim b'lekecho mechadalma." Maybe it's only true by a wife. But what the pellet to me in this Magen Mishnah is he reads the Rambam like the other Rishonim. I would have read this Rambam kipshutoi she'cholka rishus la'atzmai, screaming Rashi's lamdas. It's its own possession. So what? And therefore, the husband's right to be kaina or the moicher's rights no longer extend above 10 tefachim. Says the Magen Mishnah. That's not pshat Rambam. He learns cholka rishus la'atzmai is not the siba, but it's the simen. Since it's Cholka Rishus La'atzmai, since it's such a far away area, that's where the husband says, "Yeah, you can have it." That's how the Magen Mishnah learned the Rambam. Very mechudish way, I think, to read the Rambam. I think the Pashup Shah and the Rambam, I think most of us would have read the Rambam, not like that. We would have read the Rambam, Cholka Rishus La'atzmai, is like Rashi. But in the Rambam, it seems to be possibly two ways of reading this machlokes rishonim. Is the pshat above 10 tefachim? Is it hers because the husband gives it to her? Or is it hers automatically because above 10 tefachim, the husband's rights no longer extend and above 10 tefachim is free area? Next week, we'll talk about even more creative cases. What about if she has a bag on her, in his possession, and he puts the get in the bag that's on her body? Can she be kainer or not?
Why is that not
yoda? Okay, we'll talk about that next week. A big machlokes rishonim. What to consider that?